We're going to do this double time, all right? So fasten your seatbelts. Oh, just knock the water in the floor. We're going to do this double time today and try our best to get through this. Open your Bibles quickly with me. We're going to look at, this probably isn't wise, we're going to start with three passages, okay? We're going to look at the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Luke, and Matthew. John 13, Luke 10, Matthew 5. John chapter 13 and verses 33 and 34. Nope, 34 and 35. Let's read that first. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus is speaking to his disciples on the night in which he is going to be betrayed. And Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I want you to notice three times in two verses, Jesus uses the phrase, love one another. You think he's trying to make a point? Love one another. It's the new commandment. Look over at Luke chapter 10. One gospel to your left. And just a couple of verses again. Look down at verse 25. It tells us there that a scribe or a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to them, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And this scribe answers and says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength, being, everything in you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Look at Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Two Gospels, two books over to your left once again, into the fifth chapter. And toward the end of that chapter, we're looking at verses 43 to 46. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, okay? And Jesus is teaching, teaching us about love once again. He says in verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" I want you to notice in these three passages of Scripture, Jesus has said, love God. Jesus has said, love one another. Jesus has said, love your neighbor. And Jesus has said, love your enemies. Now, he hasn't specified, but somewhere in one of those categories will be your spouse. Whether it's one another, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's your enemy. Somewhere in there. So we're supposed to love our spouses too. Okay. Let's pray together. God, open our eyes today. Help us to see the life that you've called us to as followers of Jesus Christ. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, make it so in every one of us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that is willing to obey. Amen. Amen. All right. This is like our fourth week now in this series of messages that we've entitled Jesus Calling. And we've spent the last several weeks talking about how important the call of Jesus is and our response to it, and how how significant that response is supposed to be. In other words, we've said that following Jesus is something that we're supposed to be all in for, okay? We're not supposed to be sitting on a fence. We're not supposed to be, you know, following at a distance. We're not supposed to be lukewarm in our following of the Lord. In fact, we found out last week, Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So he calls us to complete dedication and commitment of our heart and life to following Jesus. Following Jesus means walking the same path that he walked. It means walking the same direction that he walked. It means doing the same things that Jesus did. And we're supposed to be all in where following Jesus is concerned. Here's what we're going to do for the next several weeks, just to give you a little heads up. This is our fourth week today. We're going to talk about following Jesus and walking in the love of God. Because Jesus patterns that for us. We're going to see that in a few moments. And listen, we read that whole list that we did because here's what I want you to see, that Jesus calls us to love everybody all the time. Everybody all the time. No exceptions, no exclusions, no exemptions. We're to love everybody all the time. I hope you'll remember that this week when you get ready to post on social media about your politics, okay? We're supposed to love everybody all the time. We're talking about an attitude of heart toward everybody of goodwill and love and care and concern about the needs of every one of God's people and God's creatures. So we're to love everybody all the time. We're going to talk about that today. Over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about the other things about Jesus, the other calls, if I can put it that way, of Jesus on our life. We are called to serve. We are called to suffer. We are called to holiness. We are called to witness. And so we're going to look at all of these things over the next several weeks, and that'll just about get us to Christmas, believe it or not. We're getting close to Christmas, guys. But that'll get us real close. And we want to talk about these things and talk about what it means. Listen, because all of these things, brother and sister, all of these things are part and parcel of what it means to be a Christian. Okay? In the world today, and I've made this point the last several weeks, particularly in America today, when we look at the landscape of the United States, it is almost impossible to tell who's the Christian and who isn't. Because we all act alike. And brother and sister, it should not be that way. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Change takes place when we come to Jesus. We live a different way. We have a different attitude. We care in a greater way. And we show it to everybody all the time. So we're going to look at these things again. We're talking about an attitude of heart. We're not talking about emotion. You know, the world has its own definition of love these days, and it looks like, and speaking of social media, it looks like in order to love somebody, the world has the added idea that if you love somebody, it means you have to accept everything about them, whether God says it's right or wrong, you have to accept everything about them, and if you don't accept everything that they're doing, every way that they're living, all of these things about them, then obviously you hate them. And we've got these warped ideas of love and hate and those kinds of things. Loving people doesn't mean accepting everything they do. In fact, one of my jobs as a preacher, did you know that one of my jobs as a pastor is to rebuke you? Oh, you got excited on that one, didn't you? You should read over in Timothy, where the Bible talks about the Word of God being the inspired Word of God. And God has given it to us to rebuke us, to correct us, and to encourage us. Listen to that list. Rebuke, correct, encourage. We would look at that list and we would think two out of three are pretty negative. We don't want anything to do with that. But it's all for the part, it's all for the purpose of helping us to see our lives for what they are so that God can change them into what they ought to be. See? And not sure how I got off on that. But anyway, we have the idea, and I know where I was going. For example, let's say if I see this young lady and her life is going in a wrong direction. Now, it never has. She's never made a mistake in her whole life. But if she did, it would be my responsibility to say, hey, sister, I think we need to make a little course correction here. There's a better way of doing things. See, you speak the truth in love. You don't accept, you don't say, yeah, well, you killed three people this week. That's all right. That's all right, dear. Do whatever you want to do. That's your truth. That's the world's understanding, you see. No, see, love will bring correction when it's needed, okay? So my point is that love doesn't mean you just accept everything. See, and not accepting everything doesn't mean you hate people. Speaking the truth to people whose lives are messed up, that's the greatest love you can show those people. Is to say, hey, you're messing up. your life is a mess because you keep making the wrong choices. Make some better choices. Or you can keep saying, oh, just keep doing what you're doing. Maybe the consequences will change one day. It doesn't work that way, does it? That's not life. No. So, in fact, God defines love for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 13, verse 4. Let me read it for you real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. This is God's love. And see, this is not an emotion. We're not talking about a feeling. We're certainly not talking about what the world calls love. Okay? We're talking about something that we decide to do because we're followers of Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient and love is kind and love is not jealous. Love doesn't brag and love is not arrogant, it's not proud. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It's not rude. It doesn't seek its own. Love is not selfish. It's not provoked. It does not take into an account a wrong suffered. That means love forgives. Doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, and it never comes to an end. See, this is the love of God. It's that positive attitude of the Lord, of support, of help, of care, of concern, of putting other people ahead of ourselves. This is the love of God, and this is the way the Lord wants us to love one another, our neighbor, our enemy, and even our spouse. Okay? It's the love of God. It's the unconditional, unchanging, everlasting love of God that should be the attitude of our heart toward everybody. Let me focus on enemy, because obviously that's the hardest one. We've got good neighbors. It's easy to love them. We love our family. We love our God. But our enemies, that's a little tougher, isn't it? But you know what Jesus says? If they offend you, love them. Jesus says, if they speak evil about you, love them. Jesus says, if you disagree with them, love them anyway. If they abandon you, love them anyway. If they vote different from you, love them anyway. Love everybody all the time. If they hate you, love them anyway. If they try to kill you, love them anyway. Love. Love everybody all the time. See, because Jesus did this. All those things I just thought, Jesus did all of this. Jesus obviously loved his Father. Jesus loved his disciples. We read there in John 13, if you read the first verse, it says that Jesus loved his disciples. He knew what was about to happen to him in John chapter 13. He's preparing them for his departure. But it said Jesus loved them to the end. I think the King James says, loved them to the uttermost. His love for them was just to the ultimate extreme of love. But did you know the Bible said that Jesus also loved his neighbor? Whether they were Jews or Gentiles, he fed them. He delivered them from demons. He healed their sick. He raised their dead. Didn't matter who they were. He loved everybody. And did you know he also loved his enemies? We read over there in Matthew where he says, I know that you think you're supposed to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love everybody all the time and pray for those who are against you. And did you know that's exactly what Jesus did? They spoke evil about him. They despised him. They hated him. They persecuted him. They arrested him. They beat him. They crucified him. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. You see, brother and sister, Jesus patterned for us what it means to live the Christian life. Yeah, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. And you know, we say all the time, well, you know, Jesus did all this stuff. And we say, yeah, but that was Jesus. And we use that as an excuse. We use that as justification for not living up to the standard that he set for us. Yeah, but he's Jesus. And what we mean by that is, well, he's the Son of God, and he's God in the flesh, and we have no hope of being like that. And so it's okay if we fall short. I want to just show you this morning that when we say that phrase, yeah, but he's Jesus, the fact that he is Jesus is proof to us that we can do these things. Let me show you that this morning. We looked at a message. We shared a message with you several weeks ago about how Jesus is both fully God, but at the same time, fully human. And we don't often consider, we realize he came in the flesh. We realize he died as a human, but we don't fully appreciate the fact that he lived his life in this world as a human being. He suffered everything that human beings suffer. He had to sleep. He had to eat. You know, he got tired. He got weary. All of these things. He lived his life completely as a human being. In fact, he lived his life as a human being who was filled with and anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 1, Luke tells us there that he was literally born of the Spirit of God. Mary said, how am I going to have the Son of God? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And Jesus is born of the Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 3, he's baptized, and the Spirit of the Lord descends on him like a dove. Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says he's led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. When the temptation is over, he comes out of the wilderness, and the Bible says he comes out of the wilderness into Galilee in the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God. And then when he gets to Galilee, he goes into the synagogue. They hand him a scroll of Isaiah. He opens it up to what we would call Isaiah 61, and he begins to read, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, deliverance to the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And then he says over in Matthew chapter 12, he's challenged about what he's doing. And he tells the people there in Matthew chapter 12, he says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, know that the kingdom has come among you. He said, I'm doing what I'm doing by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within me. Acts 10 and 38 says, you know of Jesus, who is anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. He went out in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying this to you, brother and sister, that Jesus lived his life as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, as a model, as an example, as a pattern that we are to follow, because you and I, if we believe in Jesus, can also be children filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So we look at that phrase and we hear it and we say, yeah, but that was Jesus. Yeah, that was Jesus. And now it's our turn. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you and me if we believe in him. And the same power that enabled him to do what he did enables us to do what he did as well. He told us we could. John 14, 12, the works that I do, you will do also. Because I go to the Father and I'll send back the Holy Spirit. So the point, brother and sister, is that Jesus did what he did as an example for you and I. And when he loved everybody all the time, he's setting an example and a pattern for us to follow. Go out and do what I did. Love everybody all the time. How do we get there? How do we get to the place where we actually can love everybody all the time? I'm going to give you three things quickly here this morning. First thing that we have to do, oh no, by the way, oh, we talked about it. Loving people means forgiving people. Let me just say it this way. God says we can do this. When we, let's be honest, we've all got people in our lives that rub us the wrong way. Cowards. Cowards. I do. People, it's hard. Some people are hard to love. And we get offended, and sometimes it's hard to forgive. I get that. I understand that. But brother and sister, when we say, I can't, we've made God out to be a liar. Because God says we can. See? So how do we get to that place where we want to? See, that's what needs to change in us. The want to has to change in us. How do we get to the place where we want to? Three things, just real quickly. First thing, we're going to make a decision to love God with all of our heart. Guys, this is not about trying harder. This is about drawing nearer. It's about loving God with everything that's within us. I want you to see something. We read it over in Luke chapter 10. There is actually a relationship between loving God and loving people. The two things go hand in glove. These things are not isolated. Most of us would say, well, yeah, I love God. People, the fact of the matter is, these things are related. Loving God and loving people go hand in glove. They are connected, and you really can't separate them. We read it over there in Luke. Let me just back up another step. We started in John where Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. A new commandment. What do you mean by new commandment? Is this something they'd never heard of before? No. That's not what he meant. Because when we read that in Luke chapter 10 there, that man was quoting the Levitical law. When he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being, and your neighbor as yourself. This is the Levitical law. This law has been around for 2,000 years. So the commandment to love people all the time is not new. What did Jesus mean by new commandment? Why is it new? It's new for two reasons. Number one, Jesus has modeled it for us in his life. And number two, Jesus has empowered us to do it. Therefore, it is renewed in us. Now we can do it, and we have no excuse when we don't, you see. Do you understand that every commandment that God gives in the Bible comes with the promise of fulfillment in your life? What do I mean by that? I mean, if God commands you to do something, God will never ask you to do anything without also giving you the ability to do it. And when God commands you to do something, God gives you the ability to do that as well. And when God commands us to love everybody all the time, he only commands it because he gives us the ability to do it. See? But these things go hand in glove. Loving people and loving God go together. Look over at 1 John real quickly. 1 John chapter 4, way back toward the back of your Bible there. This commandment has been renewed to us. It's an old commandment, but now it's new and fresh because of the Spirit of the Lord who is within us, empowering us to walk it out. John writes for us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. The same John we read about earlier over in the gospel. This is the same guy. And he says here in 1 John chapter 4, he says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Please look at this verse with me. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Please notice what it says. The love that we love one another with is the love that we get from God. Okay? We can't manufacture this. We can't manufacture the desire for this. But if we know God, we'll love people. Look at what he says there. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In other words, if you're really walking in love with people, the reason that you're able to do that is because you're having an intimate walk with God. You know God in an intimate way. And God's love is coming into your life and you have what you need to love other people with. Look at the next verse. The one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Please notice that verse. If you're not loving people, it's because you're not walking intimately with God. It's the flip of verse 7. When we walk intimately with God, we're filled with His love, and now we can love other people. But if we're not loving other people, it's an indication to us that we're not walking intimately with God. So here's the thing, brother and sister. When you think, I can't love that person. I can't forgive that person. That should be a red flag warning to our own heart that our walk with the Lord is not what it ought to be. Okay? This is not about judgment. This is not about condemnation. This is about conviction of our own heart. If we feel in our heart we can't love somebody, we need to take a look not at that other rascal. We need to take a look at our own heart. We need to take a look at our own life. And our own walk with God. Because if it's as intimate with God as it's supposed to be, then the love of God, the love other people with will be there. Okay? Verse 9, by this the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. That verse tells us the reason we can love is because Jesus came and made it possible. Jesus came into the world to die for our forgiveness, and He comes to give us love so that we can love one another. Verse 10, in this is love. In other words, here's the picture of love. Not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. That's a good spiritual word, isn't it? It's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He says, here's the picture of love. It's Jesus laying down His life as a sacrifice. Now watch this. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What does love look like? It's Jesus dying on the cross. There's the picture of love. And He says, if God loves us that way, we ought to love each other that way. Just as Jesus died and sacrificed Himself for us, we should be willing to sacrifice and lay down our lives for one another. This is real love. Verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. Now that verse, that phrase, that part of that verse just seems to be completely out of context to me when I first read it. But look at what he says. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Watch what he's saying there. He's saying, while we can't see God, if we will love one another, by that love, we can see God in each other. We can't see God directly, but we can see God indirectly by the love that we show to one another. Okay? So this is the love walk. Look down at verse 19. We love because He first loved first. We love because He first loved. He loves us, therefore we can love one another. Please see the connection, brother and sister. We can't walk in the love of God with people if we're not walking in intimate communion with the Father. And if in our heart we think we can't love, it's because we're not walking intimately with the Lord the way that we are supposed to. This command we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Oh, I skipped over verse 20. Probably the most important verse. Look at this. If someone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. See the connection again, brother and sister. If we're not in love with God, we can't love people. If we're not loving people, we're not loving God either. But if we walk in intimate communion with the Lord and we love God with all of our heart, then God's love is poured into us so that we can love people all the time. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a decision, first of all, that we're going to love God with all of our heart. Second thing, let me just give the last two real quickly. Second thing is we're going to make a decision to hang out with Jesus. Okay? We're just going to hang out with Jesus. Jesus teaches us in John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. I want you to notice what he says there. He's talking about vines and branches and making a comparison between that and us and him. And just like a vine, listen, a vine produces branches, and then on those branches grows the fruit. But watch. The branch doesn't produce the fruit. The vine does. The vine does. It's the life in the vine that flows through the branches that produces the fruit. The branch doesn't produce it on its own. You can prove that by cutting a branch off. Cut the branch off, nothing. It won't produce a thing. But as long as the vine is attached, as long as the branch is attached to the vine, fruit will appear on that branch. It's the same way with you and me. As long as we, the branch, are hanging out with the vine, Jesus, then the fruit of the Lord will appear in our lives. It's when we don't hang out that we don't produce any fruit, you see. So we're going to make a decision to hang out with Jesus and trust that as we're hanging with the Lord, he's going to produce fruit through us. Leads me to the third thing. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So here's what we're going to do. Number one, we're going to make a decision to love God with all of our heart. That's the decision. That's our part. Our part is just to make the decision. God does everything else. We're going to make a decision to love God with all of our heart. We're going to hang out with Jesus and trust him to produce fruit in our lives. The third thing we're going to do is we're going to ask the Lord to continually fill us with the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19 in there, he tells us to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a believer, every day we must choose to allow the Holy Spirit to have complete control over our lives. But if we will yield to the Spirit of God and let him have that control, he will produce his fruit in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. These are the things the Holy Spirit produces in us when we hang out with Jesus and when we make the decision to love God with all of our heart. If we will make that decision to love the Lord, hang with Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, then God will produce his love in our lives, and he will give us the ability to love everybody all the time. And oh, by the way, this is the essence, this is the basis of real and true abundant life in Christ. Because when we begin to live this kind of life with people, our hearts will then begin to overflow with the peace and the joy of the Lord. Those things that are truly abundant life. Father, thank you today for pouring your love into our hearts by your Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Thank you today, Lord, for calling us to love everybody all the time. Thank you, Lord, that in that calling, in that commandment, is the promise of fulfillment if we will hang with you and make the decision to love you more than anything else in this life. You're calling us, Jesus. We make the decision today. You're calling us, Jesus, to follow you, to be like you, which means to love everybody all the time. Help us today, Father, to answer that call for the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we made it and you didn't think we could. As I shared with you earlier, Becky's left knee has been bothering her since April. She was at the Y and doing some Zumba, whatever you call that stuff, and stepped a certain way, and there was some friction in her knee there, and it started hurting her, and it's been bothering her ever since. I went to the doctor and discovered that the cartilage in her knee is just completely gone. There's nothing there. It's just bone on bone. And bones grinding together cause inflammation, cause pain. We tried therapy. She's tried injections and all of these different things to get well. But it's just not improving. And so we believe that the path that the Lord would have us to go and what the Lord would have us to do is to go down there and have this man put an artificial joint in her knee so that she can get on with her life. So we're heading down this evening. Becky has a brother who lives in the Richmond area. We'll go down this evening, spend the evening with them, get up super early in the morning, be at the hospital at 5:15. There's some prep work that if we lived in the Richmond area, we would be doing it today, and we wouldn't have to get there quite so early. But because we got to get there first and then still do the prep, that's why we got to get there so early. And we'll be there at 5:15. Surgery is scheduled for around 8-ish. And so we'll ask you to continue to keep Becky especially in your prayers, and then really pray for her when she gets out, because I'm the primary caregiver. And I've got to take care of her for a while until she can get back up and get around. And so she's going to need lots of prayer where that's concerned. The doctors tell her that I'm her coach. The coach is spelled B-O-S-S. Yeah, that's going to work, isn't it? Please pray for her, if you would, please. In fact, we'll pray for her right now and ask the Lord's favor. We'll pray for a good surgery, quick, successful, smooth, and a very quick healing so that she can hit me with that rolling pin that she's got on her mind right now.
I also want prayer, and I'm really serious about this. It goes with your sermon. I want this to be more than just about my need. I want God to use us. I want to be aware of opportunities to just show his love to everybody that comes in contact with us.
Amen. 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 Join us as we pray. Lord, we are beyond grateful for your goodness and faithfulness to us over all of these years. And you have always been there for us and always met every need. And we stand amazed at how awesome you are. And we give you praise, Lord, for everything you've done and everything you've brought us through. And here we stand, Father, on the brink of another test, another trial, yet another opportunity to give you praise. And Father, I pray for healing for this knee. complete and total restoration of this knee. Thank you, Father. For the way that you choose to do this, God, we leave that in your hands. We believe you want her strong and well, and we believe you know the best way to get her there. And so we commit her to you, Lord, and thank you for doing this for her. Lord, as we go to Richmond tonight and to the hospital tomorrow, I pray, Father, that you would guide the hands of this precious man, this surgeon, Lord, to do perfectly what he needs to do to strengthen and repair this knee. I pray the surgery would go smoothly. I pray that recovery would be quick. I pray it would be painless. I ask you, Lord, to raise her up quicker than anybody could imagine and have her back around doing what she needs to do for you. And Lord, we do pray for opportunities over these next few days while we are in Richmond to show the love of Christ to all those that we encounter and to be witnesses for your Son to the people that are there. Lord, open doors of opportunity for us. Use us and speak through us by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, in all that we say and do in this journey, in this season and at this place. Help us to glorify Jesus. We thank you for that. And Lord, we will give you the praise for the way this prayer is answered and for what you're doing in our lives. We will give you, Lord, all of the praise and all of the glory for it.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand together with us? And we will be glad to pray with you about any particular needs in your life before you leave here today. If there's something special we can pray with you about. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a good day. Be in the house of the Lord together. And we appreciate your presence more than you know. More than you know. Let's sing together as we're dismissed and hang around for a few minutes if you need us to pray with you about anything. We'll be glad to stick around and pray with you about your needs today. Let's sing together. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, in your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great, beautiful fall day today.